Hello, loves, and thank you for listening. I'm actually jumping on just to make a quick edit to this episode that you're about to listen to on wardrobe magic. So later in the episode, you hear me talk a little bit about shopping and the process of shopping for clothes and the fact that I'm kind of an advocate for maximalism. I think that women in particular are subjected to a great deal of guilt and shame when we spend our personal prosperity on ourselves, whatever that looks like, and however we like to treat ourselves. And so I like to sort of be an example in the sense that I talk very candidly about the fact that I am a single woman with a income that, you know, I provide for myself. And I'm really proud of the fact that I'm able to not only support myself and share my abundance in the form of generosity, in the form of charity, as well as just taking care of my loved ones. But I'm also really proud of the fact that I get to treat myself. And that's something that I think is important, and it's something that I'm really, really passionate about. And I want women everywhere to feel like they can spend money on themselves and not feel bad about that. And really, not just spend money, but treat themselves in whatever way that looks like for them. But at the same time, I had a listener reach out to me very concerned because she felt like this episode sort of dropped the ball on an opportunity to talk about sustainability and ethical shopping, which is something that is extremely important, especially in these times. And this is something that science proves, that we need to cut back on waste, which frenetic kind of flagrant consumerism certainly is not necessarily in alignment with. And even though I do talk about the fact that I'm kind of a shameless maximalist, I also talk in this episode about the fact that discernment is a huge factor in practicing wardrobe magic. And a really big problem with shopping, if you're trying to construct a wardrobe that is intentional and magically charged, is that a lot of us actually shop from a place of not feeling worthy. We shop when we feel bad about ourselves. We shop when we feel insecure. We shop when other things are going wrong in our lives and we're looking for a distraction. A lot of us buy clothing when we're not in a space of vibing high and feeling good. And I touch on that in this episode, but I don't think that I fully made the connection that shopping in a way that is ethical and intentional and deliberate is not only a major factor in wardrobe magic and cultivating a wardrobe that is energetically powerful, but it's also really important for Mother Earth, which I think you already know is, rapidly dying. So this is really important. It's a little dark. I didn't really expect to talk about this in this episode, but I think that this listener was absolutely right that this is kind of an organic thing to mention, and especially because I do proudly boast that I am all about spending money on yourself, but we do need to be ethical, conscious shoppers and consumers, and not just for ourselves and not just so that we create a wardrobe that feels really good when we look at it, but also for Mother Earth as well. This is something that's really important to me, and it's something that I know is important to you as well. So thank you for listening. I hope that you enjoy this episode, and I will talk to you very soon. Hello and welcome to the Smart Witch Podcast, and thank you so much for being here with me today. And today we are going to talk about something fun, which is what I'm calling fashion magic. And I don't totally know that fashion magic is the best phrase for this particular type of magic, but it just had a really nice ring to it. But basically, we're just talking about clothing magic today and how we can work with our wardrobe and our ritual of getting dressed in the morning in a way that is intentional, in a way that feels good, and also in a way that can literally be kind of a mini spell in and of itself and to help us set us up to achieve the outcomes that we want. Now, I'm actually releasing this episode as almost like kind of a part one to a two-part series. And the second episode will be coming out next week or maybe in a couple days. I haven't decided yet. And that episode, which is going to be a follow-up, is all about color magic. And you can't really talk about any sort of fashion magic or outfit magic without talking about the magic of color. And because color is literally nothing more or less than energetic frequency, color is extremely powerful. And we also know, because we talk quite a bit about chakras here in this podcast, that the colors align to the seven chakras and to the correspondences of those seven chakras and to the areas of life that they rule. So definitely we know as witches that working with color, whether in the form of crystals, in the form of paint and how you're going to color your walls in your home, in the form of the colors that you dress on your physical body and paint your nails with and select your business cards, all color matters and is important and can help us to manifest the outcomes we want, especially if we bring intention to that. So if you haven't listened to that episode already, and I've already released it, which as I said, at the time of this podcast episode's release, that hasn't come out yet. But if it has, then I do recommend that you jump over and listen to that one too if you haven't already. That episode is just on color magic specifically, but as I said, you really can't talk about outfit slash fashion magic without at least considering color. So to get a little bit more information on color magic generally, hop over and listen to that one. But first, we're going to talk about, as I said, just our wardrobe and getting dressed as a magical, intentional act. So I'm going to start off by just kind of giving you some tips. So the first tip that I have about just wardrobe storage is not only is it important to go through your clothing often, and that's just important anyway, to get rid of the things that don't fit you anymore, or to get rid of the things that really just don't send the message that you want to send or don't align with who you are and who you're becoming. Not only do you want to just kind of energetically move your clothing around an appropriate amount, but it's also really important to smudge your clothing. And this is something that's not talked about enough. In fact, it's not talked about at all. I've never heard this offered in the witch community as a tip. It's not anything that I've ever considered. But we literally do need to cleanse our clothes regularly, energetically, not just cleanse them as in physically wash them, although yes, that's important, but we literally need to smudge them with sage or incense or a singing bowl, but whatever your preferred method of cleansing is, and obviously if you're using sage or anything with ash, just be really careful. Obviously, you don't want to ruin or stain your clothing if like the ash were to fall or like, you know, burn a hole in your clothing. So just be really careful if fire is at all involved in your cleansing process. But it's really important that you do something to cleanse your clothing. Now, why is this important? So I especially am talking to those who are like me in the sense that you may be a little bit of an impulse buyer, or a lot of us, and again, myself totally included, shop online as a means of self-soothing. And honestly, there's absolutely no shame in that, because shopping and especially buying ourselves clothing that is beautiful and fits us well and makes us feel good when we wear it, that's not only a good investment, but it's just a great way to create joy in your life. Even if it's a short-term joy, it's joy. And in these times where it's really hard to exist on the planet and there's just a lot of stress and anxiety and uncertainty and fear, I feel like a little online shopping never hurt anybody. Obviously, as long as you don't have like a legitimate issue where you're spending money that you don't have and it's become a thing, in which case, obviously, I think you'll know that you need to get that under control. And that's a personal call for every individual. But that aside, there's nothing wrong with online shopping, but we often don't remember and realize, and I think this is something that we know intuitively, but we often don't consciously realize or think about the fact that our clothing, not only do I believe that our clothing hangs on to the energy of experiences that we have, but I also believe that our clothing, and even more strongly, our clothing holds on to the energy of the state we were in when we bought it. And I don't necessarily mean physically, like obviously our clothing is not necessarily an energetic tool in the same way that a crystal is an energetic tool, and crystals literally absorb energy because that's what they do. I don't think that clothing absorbs energy the way that, say, a crystal or other magical tool like that does, where literally it's a tool that which is used to absorb and store energy. But what I mostly mean is that we mentally and energetically are going to come to associate an outfit or an article of clothing in our closet with the way that we felt at the time that we bought it. So it's not even necessarily that the clothing is absorbing anything as much as this is really just mental. It's almost science. Literally, if we bought an article of clothing, and I'm just going to use a personal example because this has happened to me. I bought the most beautiful skirt online a couple months ago, but I was in a really bad place when I bought it. Not to say a really bad place, but in that moment, it was kind of like an impulse, compulsive buy. It was pretty expensive. I kind of had the feeling that even though it was beautiful, it was a little bit overpriced, that it was the kind of thing that was going to fall apart probably after one wash. I bought it when I was feeling not great about myself physically. And I don't know about you, but for me personally, sometimes I do shop because I'm feeling myself and I just want to buy beautiful things. And sometimes I shop, as I said earlier, to self-soothe because maybe I don't feel great about myself. Maybe I saw someone else that looked really beautiful and I feel kind of inadequate. And so I want to go and buy something that I feel will somehow mimic the beauty that I saw from them. Or that's obviously a very specific example, but maybe you buy something because you're feeling bad about the way your body looks. Maybe you've put on some weight recently and you just feel really bad about that. Or maybe you've lost weight and you feel bad about that. Or maybe you bought something because you just had the urge to distract yourself from something negative that's happening in your life. There's all kinds of different reasons that we might have a negative association with an article of clothing that we have, and usually it can be traced back to the moment that we bought it. And what's interesting is, I think that if you think about this for a second, you'll realize that there are articles of clothing hanging in your closet or folded in your drawer that you have kind of a negative feeling about. And maybe it's a beautiful, high quality, expensive article of clothing that looks fabulous on you. So obviously sometimes we can have negative feelings about clothing because they genuinely make us feel bad for practical reasons, right? Like maybe it really doesn't fit us. Like it's too tight, it's not comfortable physically, or we don't like the way we look in it. In which case, get rid of that shit. I'm telling you right now, energetically, that is not something that you need in your life or in your home. But a lot of the times, an article of clothing can look fabulous on us. It's beautiful. Maybe it's even really high quality or was very expensive. But for some reason, we don't feel great about it. And as a result, we don't feel great when we wear it. And this will tend, more importantly, to play out in the experiences we have in the clothing. And again, this is all very subconscious. I'm not suggesting that you know this at the conscious level, but I'm telling you, I had this epiphany and I can't get over how much I think that we as witches should be talking about this more often. Because I realized I actually have, as I said, the specific maxi skirt in my closet that is beautiful. And yet I've noticed that I don't feel good when I look at it. I don't like looking at it. I still wear it because it looks great on me. It fits me very well. I get a lot of compliments when I wear it, but I have noticed that I can't say I have negative experiences per se when I wear it. That would be dramatic, but I do notice that when I wear it, it brings my mood down, which is really interesting because as I said, there's nothing practically wrong with it. It fits me. It's beautiful. It looks good on me. Others kind of reflect that back at me when I wear it, that it's an attractive look, but it's just purely emotionally, I have a memory of not feeling good when I bought it. And I feel like I only bought it because I wanted to prove something to myself, or I wanted to feel good about myself or feel validated or something like that. And that's just not a good feeling. And it's definitely something that will continue to come up if you buy an article of clothing in a moment where it doesn't feel good. And again, that's a specific example, but it could not feel good for a wide array of other reasons too. Maybe you panic purchase the item and you were physically at a store and you felt uncomfortable because you tried it on, so you felt obligated to buy it. Obviously, it's COVID, so we're not really shopping in person or trying things on right now, but you get my point. It doesn't necessarily have to be related to the clothing. It could be that you were just uncomfortable in the moment, or as I said, you were shopping as a way to self-soothe when you were going through something really hard, like a really hard breakup, or maybe even something more traumatic. So I do believe that our associations with our clothing stick around. And even if the clothing arrives, it's delivered, and we try it on, and we love it, and it looks great, and it's good quality, and we feel good about it, In theory, if we didn't feel good at the time that we bought it, or we bought it as a way of working out some emotional shit, that those feelings are going to stick around and we're going to associate them with that article of clothing. Now, so you're probably thinking, so what the hell do I do? Especially if you realize that, like me, you do have a couple pieces of clothing in your drawer or your closet that you have negative feelings about, even though there's nothing practically wrong with it. And here's the great news about that. You don't have to actually get rid of it. You can keep it, especially, as I said, if nothing's wrong with it. And now again, it is really important energetically, as I was saying before we got into the smudge and cleansing aspect of clothing care, it is also just important at the energetic level to move through your clothing and to frequently just be, you know, checking to make sure everything is still fits you physically, checking to make sure everything still represents you effectively. Even if you're not necessarily donating anything or moving anything along or buying new things, it's still just important to physically move your clothing, to switch the drawers that you keep your clothing in, like maybe put your socks in what's normally your bra drawer and your jeans in what's normally your tank top drawer. It's also just important to kind of shake things out, refold things, wash things. And that's just important because energy moves when we do that. And we want energy to continue to move in the spaces where we keep our clothing. We don't want that to become stagnant. And obviously donating and buying new clothing is a healthy way to do that. But if you're not in a position to be buying new clothing or donating what you have, financially speaking, that's fine. Literally just the act of, as I said, refolding, relocating, readjusting will be extremely powerful and will still serve to just kind of move energy along. Although I'm still a really big advocate of just ditching the shit that you don't like, that doesn't fit you, that doesn't look good on you. Maybe you bought it online without trying it on and you just were too lazy to return it and you feel obligated to wear it because you spent money on it. I don't care. I don't care what your excuse is. Get rid of that shit because it's going to continue to make you feel bad. But going back to my earlier example, if there's something that you like essentially and it fits you, but you just have this negative emotional resonance, cleansing will take care of that. So that's why I cannot stress enough that it's really important to do some sort of a cleansing ritual with your clothing. And honestly, like with crystals or other magical tools, because our clothing is a magical tool, I recommend cleansing it upon its arrival or its purchase if you buy it out physically at a store somewhere. I think it's important to not only wash it, obviously, for cleanliness purposes, but to do some sort of a ceremonial cleanse of the article before you introduce it to your wardrobe. But I also think it's important to just continue to do that over time. And if this is something that you've never done, which I'm assuming it's not, because it's something that, as I said, is not talked about or recommended ever, it's something I hadn't done. Or been doing, I should say, up until now. But because it's something I've never done, I just recently, as in yesterday, went through my wardrobe and pulled out all of my clothing. And I especially focused on a couple articles that, as I said, I feel kind of bad about and for no practical reason. And I did a formal smudge. And I really just thought, I'm clearing out all of these negative associations that I have with this beautiful skirt that there is nothing wrong with, that I want to continue to wear, that I feel pretty in. But in the moment that I bought it, I was trying to prove to myself that I could afford it. I was trying to feel good about myself in a moment where I really just didn't feel good about myself. I was feeling inadequate and I was comparing myself to others in a way that was giving me low self-esteem. So I bought this skirt as a response to that emotional kind of down feeling. And a cleansing ritual, a very simple cleansing ritual. As I said, you can use a smudge stick of some sort, such as sage or Palo Santo. You can use incense. You can use sound if you're more comfortable with that. Obviously, that's very non-damaging. You can just ring a singing bowl over your clothing. I like scent. So for me, I used a smudge stick and I just used a turkey feather to distribute the smoke. And I also recommend doing a smudge not only of your individual articles of clothing, but of the space where you keep your clothing, your dresser or your closet or your walk-in closet, if you have a walk-in closet. I definitely recommend just really thoroughly cleansing the space that you store your clothing, because that's also just really important that we feel good about our wardrobe and that energy is clear. And as I said, I recommend continuing to clear your clothing maybe every couple months, just because I do believe that we have emotional resonances that develop about certain pieces of clothing after we have experiences in them. So for example, if you look at a shirt, and this might sound really silly and it might not be a conscious process, but if you recall emotionally that was the shirt that you wore when you broke up with your boyfriend 3 months ago unexpectedly, you're going to have a negative feeling about that shirt, I'm willing to bet. But as I said, a smudging ritual can sort of help clear that out so that you don't have to get rid of this outfit or this shirt if it's something that you like to wear and if it fits you and if it's cute. But a sort of symbolic act of letting go of that emotional resonance can be really, really powerful. So I definitely recommend doing that. And then in addition to that, I also, to take it a step further, invite you to not only focus on cleansing your clothing at the energetic level, but I also recommend setting intentions with certain outfits. That can be a really, really fun way to enhance your wardrobe fashion magic experience. And literally, obviously, you can do this on a day-to-day basis, and you do this, by the way, subconsciously on a day-to-day basis when you get dressed in the morning. But when you go through this ritual, and by the way, I do recommend making it like a full-on ritual. If you have time, like your next day off or your next evening to yourself, light a smudge stick, burn a candle, maybe play some music, and really take your time pulling everything out of your closet, everything out of your dresser. If you haven't done this in a while, maybe you can get a bag out and maybe prepare some things to donate or pass along to someone. Or if that's not necessarily an option or something that you want to do, still just refold your clothing, really look at all of your clothing, see what you have, really tap into your feelings, your emotional resonances with all of your articles of clothing. And if you know that you've got negative memories or experiences attached to any pieces of clothing, I recommend doing a really thorough cleanse of some sort. But after that, you can also actively set an intention for that article of clothing. And obviously, you don't have to do this for every single piece of clothing. Like, some things we just wear because we don't want to be nude in that moment and we're not necessarily trying to stun or make a statement. I feel like most of the time, honestly, we are trying to make a statement or feel a certain way when we choose an outfit, whether emotionally or physically feel a certain way. But again, you don't have to set an intention for every single outfit that you wear, but you might want to for a couple outfits. And the intention can be, like, if it's a pair of really comfy sweatpants, the intention can be that you are always comfortable physically and emotionally when you wear these sweatpants. Or maybe you have a pair of leggings that, like, you always wear to the gym. That could be that you always feel really confident and good about your body and physically energized when you wear those leggings. Or maybe you have a t-shirt, a big t-shirt that you always wear when you write. So you can set the intention that when you wear that t-shirt, you are extremely creative and the ideas just flow freely through you. Or if you have a beautiful, sexy little skirt or dress or pair of skinny jeans that you like to wear on a night out, you can set the intention that you are fucking magnetic when you wear that article of clothing and people just flock to you. They cannot get enough of you. You light up the room when you walk in when you're wearing that article of clothing. You're so radiant when you have that on. And so you can really see how you can actually consider, practically speaking, the outfit in question or the piece of clothing in question. And you could think about what you're likely to be doing in that. Because obviously, like I said, if you're looking at an old big t-shirt, you're probably not going to go out in the town in that t-shirt. So you don't necessarily want to set intentions around anything social or connection based. But maybe, again, that's your writing t-shirt or your workout t-shirt or your comfy lounge around t-shirt. So you can set intentions based on what you know you're likely to be doing when you're wearing it and the energies that you want to channel when you're wearing it. And so you can actively set those intentions and you don't have to do anything physically to represent that or symbolize that. You can literally just set the intention in your mind while you're looking at the outfit and touching the outfit. And I really think that this is going to dramatically change the way you feel when you approach your wardrobe. So those are my really two big witchy tips about clothing storage, is not only cleansing your clothing regularly upon its initial purchase and also just periodically, but I also recommend actually setting intentions for specific articles of clothing that are based on the kinds of energies that you're probably going to want to channel when you reach for something like that, practically speaking. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, I guess the second tip, is not clothing storage and maintenance as much as the act and the ritual of getting dressed, which again, I'm going to talk about a lot more in the color magic episode. So please do stay tuned for that because that's coming out next week. But when you select the clothing that morning or afternoon or whenever it is, nighttime maybe, which is honestly when I feel like I tend to get dressed, you are really deciding what kind of energy you're going to bring. And not just based on the article of clothing, as in, you know, jeans versus a skirt versus sweatpants, but also in terms of color magic. And so actually, this reminds me, I do actually have one more tip about maintenance before we get into getting dressed, which is related to color magic. And that is to organize your closet slash dresser. Although for me, I didn't really do this in my dresser. I just did it for my closet. To organize your clothing by color as opposed to by like what it is. So for example, in my closet, I have overalls hung. I have jackets. I have cardigans. I have graphic tees. And I also have like bodysuits and blouses, like nicer tops. Jumpsuits. So I've got all sorts of different like things. I even have some skirts that get wrinkled too easily. So I don't like to put them in a dresser drawer because I feel like even if I fold them nicely, they'll look crazy when I pull them out. So I hang them up with some clothespins. So, excuse me. So what I recommend is if you're like me and you kind of have all sorts of different things hung, regardless, I recommend arranging your closet based on color as opposed to like article. So as opposed to putting your skirts together, your overalls together, your jackets together, I recommend literally sorting it red, orange, yellow, green, pink, blue, purple, white, slash clear, gray, however you want to do it. And the way that I did it is I did it based in that order based on the chakra system. So I have my black clothes first, which I have a lot of black clothes. I'm shameless about loving to wear black. So I've got a ton of black clothes. So those are first. And again, so that includes jackets, dresses, shirts, everything, bodysuits. And then I have like my browns and like earth tones, which honestly is very, very few. I don't wear a lot of like earthy colors. So I think there's maybe just a couple things. And then I have my reds, then I have my oranges, then I have my yellows, then I have my greens, then I put my pinks next to my greens, although you could do your pinks kind of more by your purples if you wanted, but I put pink and green together as like heart chakra energy. And then I've got my light blues, my dark blues, my purples, and then my like grays and whites at the end. So I have it literally color coordinated according to the chakra system. And that is just a really nice visual because when we approach, going back to what I was just about to say, when we approach our closet or dresser, when we're getting ready in the morning, it's really nice to see the visual difference of the color options that we have. Because obviously, as I said, the style of what we're wearing and the article that we choose does say a lot about us and get us into a particular frequency, but so does the color. And the color is probably the most important thing. And that's why, like when we're choosing our outfit in the morning, we're literally working color magic in that moment. So that's why I really do recommend arranging your closet or whatever your situation is by color as opposed to any other form of organizing so that you can really think about it more in terms of what color do I want to wear today? Do I feel purple? Do I want to invoke the energies of wisdom and spirituality? Or do I feel red? Do I want to invoke earth chakra kind of root vibes of like sexuality and rawness and physical energy and vitality and immunity? Or do I want to wear pink and invoke like my feminine energies of like receptiveness and heart chakra vibes and compassion and forgiveness and love and romance? Or do I want to wear black and just be like a badass, like protected kind of vibe where I feel safe, I feel less visible, less on display, and I feel like I can walk between the worlds without being stared at? So these are the kinds of questions that I invite you to ask yourself when you get dressed in the morning. And a good way to start and set yourself up for that is by color coordinating your storage setup. Now, going back though to the act itself of getting dressed, I really invite you to think about color more if you don't already. And you do subconsciously, but I invite you to make it more of a conscious process to approach your wardrobe and really think in terms of color. And again, honestly, as I talk about in the color magic episode, there is no key per se to like what colors quote unquote mean what. I feel like color is a really personal thing and we all have different personal feelings about and associations with different colors. And actually, black is a really good example of that because I love to wear black. Black makes me feel sexy. It makes me feel in control. It makes me feel safe and protected, but not overlooked. I still feel like I'm a stunner in the color black, like everyone's looking at me. And some people report that they don't feel good in the color black. They feel like it suppresses them. They feel like it makes them feel like they're not the center of attention, or they're just shying away from the spotlight, or they're hiding. And that's totally not how I feel in black. It feels safe. It feels comfortable, but it also feels hella sexy. And I feel in control when I wear it in a good way. And that doesn't mean that I'm always in the mood for that particular stream of energy, but a lot of the times I am. And so this is actually something that I recommend too, is maybe you don't necessarily have to keep a journal, although that wouldn't be a bad idea if you like to write your feelings out, but even just getting more conscious about and intentional with what colors make you feel a certain way. And you can do this by experimenting and conducting field research. Wear different colors and literally record, if not on paper, then in your mind, how you feel when you wear particular colors. What things happen? What kinds of energies do you tend to attract? What mood do you find yourself slipping into? What tends to happen, or what experiences do you tend to have when you're in that particular color? So these are really important things to think about, and it will influence, you know, the way that you might want to choose a particular outfit going forward. If you know, as I said, this is an easy example because it's so controversial, but if you know that you're someone that doesn't feel good in the color black, well, then that's not a color that you want to wear at all, maybe. Or maybe you find that you feel in control in black, but you don't feel sexy and feminine in black. So black might be a great outfit to wear to a job interview, but less great to wear on a date when you want to feel sexy. You know, so there's all sorts of endless possibilities of like when a color might be appropriate for you to wear and when it might not be, that are so unique to you. So I definitely recommend getting intentional about how you feel in different colors, because it's really not a one size fits all thing. But I will say that a good place to start in terms of color associations is the chakra system, which, just basically, I'll just go through the main ones. So black would be protection. Red would be the root chakra, so that's vitality, physical energy, sexuality, masculinity, and then orange would be creativity, feminine sexuality and sensuality and feelings and intimacy and connection. Yellow would be solar plexus, that's joy, laughter, passion, excitement, control and empowerment. And then green/pink would be heart chakra. So that's compassion, love, openness, receptiveness. The lighter blues would be throat chakra. So that includes denims. So that would be leadership skills and clear communication, honesty, discernment. The darker blues would be third eye. So that's wisdom and intuition. And then purple and white would be crown chakra. So that would be like connection to the divine and deeper wisdom and enlightenment. So that's kind of a very rough key, but obviously you can find a lot more information about just basic kind of 101 traditional color correspondences online or in any books that you might have that are good resources. So that's a really good place to start. But again, I can't encourage you enough to get curious about the way that you personally interact with color, because it's not one size fits all and it does depend on you. So definitely play around with that and see what ends up happening. Now, the other thing I want to mention about a really fun way to bring magic and just excitement to your getting dressed ritual is not only putting more of an emphasis on color, but also thinking about the astrology of the moment, and specifically the moon phase, or not the moon phase, but the where the moon is located, so the sign that the moon is in. So again, I'm just going to kind of go through like a couple examples here, but the moon in Aries, for example, when you think about what kind of energy that is, the moon in Aries is like a very kind of fast-paced go, go, go type of energy. So I would recommend like athletic wear or just something that's really, really comfortable, because you're going to be moving physically faster, literally, when the moon is in Aries, and you're thinking just more about comfort. You want to feel comfortable so that you can get the shit done that you want to do, because we're very productivity driven under an Aries moon. So anything comfortable is going to be really fitting and it's going to make you feel good. The moon in Leo, however, will be a really different vibe. A Leo moon wants to stun. So we're going to want to be the center of attention. So I recommend wearing something really sexy. Maybe you want to show a little more cleavage than you might feel comfortable doing under a Capricorn moon. Maybe you want to wear tighter pants than what you would under a Virgo moon. You definitely want to be the center of attention and step into your optimum stunner vibe. And then, you know, actually just to draw on that example, Capricorn moon tends to be very professional. We would probably be more comfortable and feel our most attractive in something a little more polished, maybe something a little bit conservative, something that amps up our professional vibe and makes us feel professionally switched on. So literally, the moon is such an important celestial body in astrology because it changes frequently. It literally spends just a couple days in each sign. And the moon deals with our fluctuating moods and desires. And so, again, we don't necessarily always consciously pick up on what sign the moon is in unless you actively keep track, as most witches do. And I recommend you start if you don't already, especially if you have a lot of Cancer in your chart, you're a moon person, and all of the moon's phases and transits are going to affect you really heavily. So you should definitely keep track of the moon. But even if you don't, like, we are primarily influenced by what sign the moon is in at a given, you know, time for a given 2 to 3 day period. And so the act of getting dressed is a really fun way to engage actively and consciously with those particular energies. And the other thing that's interesting is just as the moon waxes and wanes and quickly moves from sign to sign, so too does or do the things that make us feel attractive. Because the thing that we feel pretty in today, it's not going to be the thing that we feel pretty in tomorrow. And that's something that I've really accepted about myself a long time ago. I think for a while I felt like I needed to have like an image, like I needed to have a specific style pinned down, and I needed to stick pretty exclusively to that theme. But now I know that that's kind of bullshit, because as human beings, we are multifaceted. We don't have just one facet. We're not just one thing. I have some dresses hanging in my closet that look like, you know, a princess from, you know, the forest of the fairies, like Lord of the Rings shit. And then I also have like sexy black, like modern witch outfits. And you don't need to be any one thing. And in fact, I recommend having a really varying, you know, array of selections that you can choose from that really do honor and speak to your glorious multifaceted nature. And that's what I have. And as I said before, I felt a lot of pressure to kind of find my quote unquote image and narrow it down to one thing and just really buy articles of clothing that spoke to that one larger statement about myself. But that's so not true. And I've actually noticed, as I was saying before I got sidetracked, that like some days I feel absolutely stunning in a graphic tee and leggings. And then some days I don't. Some days I feel stunning in a really tight bodysuit and skinny jeans and pumps. And then other days I feel pretty in like a sundress. So it literally depends day to day. Like what we feel good in isn't going to be the same every single day. So that's why I recommend, if you haven't already, to abandon that whole notion that you need to have some sort of personal style that you abide by every day, because that's just not true. Literally, you're going to feel beautiful in something different every single day. And some days it's going to be a big t-shirt, and some days it's going to be a beautiful ensemble, and some days it's going to be like something in between. So really be willing to get curious about how you feel today without putting pressure on yourself in regards to how you felt yesterday or what worked for you last week in terms of an outfit selection. Although, you know, keep that in mind. I'm not saying throw it out completely, because as I just said, keeping track of like how you feel in certain colors is important. But my point is more just that, you know, give yourself room to feel what you're feeling today. And a big part of that is keeping track of the moon's location in the sky, because that's what's really kind of controlling how we feel and what we need and what we want at the emotional level and what kind of statement we want to make and what we're going to feel our best in. So that's definitely going to be something that we want to keep track of, is where the moon is, and then to adjust accordingly. Now, again, if you're not necessarily someone that keeps track of the moon's phases, that's almost not the point. I'd really just recommend getting in touch with how you feel today. As I said, you almost don't need to keep actual track. But if that does interest you, you can literally look it up online for free. You can always know where the moon is without buying anything special. But there are calendars that track the moon's movements every couple days and planners that you can buy. I always use the Witch's Calendar by Llewellyn. And I also have their planner book as well, and I buy it every single year. I actually don't buy it. My mom gets it for me for Christmas every single year. That's my gift from her, and I love it because I always like, obviously I'm an astrologer, so I always like to know exactly where the moon and planets are and when they move to the time. That's really important to me. And I get dressed based on the moon. So it's important to me to always have that information just hanging on my wall or at my disposal. But if you have a phone, then that information is still at your disposal. You don't have to buy anything special. And I do recommend just sort of looking it up. And then even if you don't have a lot of familiarity with the 12 signs, as I do as an astrologer, just think about it. Like think about the Aries people that you know or the Taurian people that you know and think about what they appreciate. Or you can do a little bit of quick research online. And just kind of get some insight into like what that sign is like. And again, I'm not going to go through all of them, but you know, Taurus, I would say if the moon's in Taurus, this would be a really good sign to channel more of your pretty energy, regardless of your physical or identified gender. This would be a good time for like dresses and pastel colors and things that really just amp your pretty vibe. Gemini would be a good time to wear something that says something about you. So like graphic tees or really anything that is makes like a statement or indicates that you're taking a position on something and that you're smart. Anything for Cancer, I would say layers. So when the moon's in Cancer, we crave like protection a little bit more. So it's really good to have layers even in the summertime, maybe a jacket or just a really light cardigan or shawl or something like that, just so that you can sort of like have it on and feel a little bit more protected. And then you can take it off as you get more comfortable if you're in a social situation. And then, as I said, the moon in Leo is going to be all about stunning, really amp it up with heels and just like tight, clingy clothing, show a little more skin, anything that's really going to like catch the eye, bright colors, things like that. The moon in Virgo is going to be a little bit more practical, a little bit more conservative. So you're going to feel prettiest or most attractive in whatever is fitting for the occasion. So if you're just going to like grab Michigan's casually with a friend, then I wouldn't say do the whole like Leo moon ritual of getting dressed. I would say just like something comfortable, something practical that's going to make you feel the best if you're like really just wearing, you know, something that makes logical sense for the occasion. Scorpio moon would be black, also sexy, like wear your sexuality on your sleeve. This is the good time for really spiky heels, really pointy nails, lots of black, really clingy clothing, show some skin, even like straight up corset like shirts are really good, or bodysuits. Definitely sexuality is prominent with a Scorpio moon, and that makes us feel really good to own our sexuality and our darkness. A Sag moon, again, I would say comfort comes into play, not because Sag is as fast-paced as Aries, but because Sagittarius just likes to be comfortable and likes to have room to move around. So literally, I would say like clothing that's larger. Even if you're someone that likes to wear form-fitting clothing like myself, I have a particularly shaped body that makes it difficult for me to wear like baggy things and have it look good, because I'm kind of like big in weird places and then small in weird places, so it's not flattering. But even if you typically wear clingy clothing, a Sag moon is a really good time to wear something baggier, something that's maybe even a little understated, and something that really just prioritizes physical comfort and your ability to move around with ease. That's the most important thing. And then, as I said, with a Capricorn moon, polish is key. You'll feel your most attractive in something that makes you feel professionally switched on, in something actually a little more conservative. Usually we don't want to show a lot of skin. Our natural inclination is to cover up a little bit with a Capricorn moon, which is totally fine. And then with a Aquarius moon, we tend to want to make a little more of a statement, a little more like Gemini, but even a little quirkier. So you might be more interested in pushing boundaries or pushing limits. If you have like a shirt, for example, that shows a little bit of like side boob, so you're not always in the mood for it, the Aquarius moon is the time to bust it out. Or if you have a shirt that makes a really bold statement, like literally verbally, like a graphic tee that says something controversial, or like a really dramatic piece of jewelry or something like that, Anything that's like really distinct and kind of original and offbeat, the Aquarius moon is the time to tap into that energy, and you're going to feel really attractive in something like that. And then the Pisces moon, again, I'd say almost similar to Taurus, although not quite as earthy, the Pisces moon is a good time to dress up as your dream self and the person that you really want to be, not necessarily the person that you are today. Like, don't be practical. Don't dress for the occasion. Literally just wear whatever makes you feel like a beautiful princess or whoever it is that you want to be when you grow up. And also with the Pisces moon, as with the Taurus moon, I would say just tap into your pretty vibe. We definitely want to look alluring and appealing, but in kind of more of a feminine, receptive way. Again, regardless of physical or identified gender. So that's a really good key to go by just for like dressing for the moon and all of her signs. Again, you can get a lot more information online, and I recommend that you do research this, but please pay attention to the moon when you get dressed, because I'm telling you, it will up-level your ritual of getting ready. And then the last thing I want to say is to, if you have never gotten your birth chart done professionally or looked it up yourself, I really recommend that you do that. And with regard to getting dressed and establishing a personal style, what you're looking at specifically is your rising sign and also your Venus sign. These are the two signs that you want to look to for your personal optimum aesthetic vibe. So your rising sign, in addition to indicating like details about your physical appearance that you were born with, like your body, it also indicates how you can dress to sort of be your most attractive. And this has nothing to do necessarily with physical beauty as in facial symmetry. It literally just within your rising sign contains keys to help you sort of maximize your best physical qualities and also like distract from slash even capitalize on your more like less conventionally quote unquote attractive qualities. So definitely you want to think about your rising sign, and then your Venus sign is more of like your aesthetic, like what I was just talking about with Pisces, who you want to be when you grow up, visually speaking, whether that is a fairy queen or a badass like witchy babe. Your Venus sign is like more your personal aesthetic in your head, like what you want to capture with the way that you dress yourself. It's more like the artistic aspect of getting dressed, whereas the rising sign is more the practical, like getting dressed vibe. So you want to know definitely your rising and Venus sign, and this will help you select clothing going forward. And this is something that I also recommend being more discerning about, as we just talked about at the beginning of this episode. The emotional state that we're in when we're purchasing clothing and adding to our wardrobe is important, and it matters. And that doesn't mean that we can't clean it up if we have like a moment where we kind of binge shop and don't feel great about it, and then that reflects in our attitude toward that piece of clothing. We can clean it up with some ceremonial, you know, cleansing and intention, but I still recommend cultivating more discernment in terms of what you with what you allow into your wardrobe. And honestly, that's really good practice for life, for boundaries, honestly, because you should think of your wardrobe as an exclusive container that not every article of clothing deserves to be in. And I know that sounds silly and like I'm overthinking it, but really it is a microcosm for life. And I do think that when you get a little bit more discerning about like quality and, you know, do I really need this type of thing? And I'm not advocating at all for minimalism right now. I hope you totally get that, because I always say on this podcast, I think it's actually come up at least a couple other times, that I'm like a proud maximalist and I love shopping. So I'm totally not shaming you or saying that you shouldn't online shop all the time or whatever, because literally I'm such an advocate for treating yourself. And, you know, if you don't, no one else is going to. But what I am saying is genuinely, be a little more discerning about the act of purchasing new clothing and bring more intention to that, and even make that somewhat of a magical ceremonial experience by really thinking about this as something that you're allowing into your sacred space, because your closet and your drawer are sacred spaces. And once you cultivate that kind of a mindset, It dramatically transforms your relationship to your clothing in such a beautiful way. And then again, I also want you to just keep your rising sign and your Venus sign in mind as you shop. And I don't mean this to say as in you're limited to either of those things, because as I just said earlier, I feel very strongly that it's important to have lots of different things in your wardrobe, because we're not ever one thing. Like, we always feel beautiful in different things, literally depending on the day and depending on the sign that the moon is in, and depending on a wide array of other factors too that are not necessarily, you know, calculatable. But the point is rather just that it's important to access, like, have something to go off of, I guess I should say. And so just knowing your Venus sign, knowing your rising sign is a good place to start. It's not necessarily something that you need to stick to aggressively, but it's something that is fun to keep in the back of your mind as you shop. And I really do believe that there's something to it, that we look more attractive and feel, more importantly, more attractive when we dress and adorn ourselves in accordance with our Venus and rising sign. And this is something I want to talk more about in another episode, and probably will, but I don't want to get into the specifics about that. But as I said, there's so much free information on the signs online, on all 12 of them, that I feel like you can easily do some research and get some good information yourself in regards to how to dress and present yourself for your Venus and rising sign. So I don't feel the need to go on that specifically at length, but I do recommend that you do some research on that and just keep that in the back of your mind as well. But that's everything I wanted to say about fashion and clothing magic, which I think is honestly a really fascinating subject. And clothing is something that we engage with literally every day, unless you live in a nudist colony, which honestly, you go. If you do, that's amazing, and I kind of want to move in with you. But if you don't, then I'm assuming that you engage with clothing every single day. And even if you're not an active practicing witch like myself, you can make it a magical ritual that empowers you, that creates the kind of day that you want to have, that manifests the outcome that you want to have in a particular meeting or social situation or not social situation. As I said, you can literally set intentions with your sweatpants and your big t-shirts that you do your writing in or that you do your relaxation in. So I really just recommend listening to this episode again, honestly, because I feel like it had a lot of good information. And thank you so much for being here. I think that's it. So please subscribe to my weekly newsletter if you haven't done that already. I send it out usually every Tuesday morning. Lately, it's been coming a little bit late. I've sent it out on Wednesday the last couple weeks because honestly, I've been really busy. I feel like it's Leo season. And after Lunasa, I always realize that summer is coming abruptly to an end. So I always feel like I just get really social and want to spend a lot of time outside and by the pool and just socializing, because I know that come winter I'm going to go into cave mode. So I've been out a lot. I've been feeling very extroverted, and that's been great, but it has been taking away from my writing time. So I do apologize if you're subscribed and you've been missing that coming on time. It has been coming a little bit late, but usually I do send it out on Tuesday morning pretty religiously. And in the newsletter, we basically just discuss the astrology of the week. I pull a tarot card. I publish a gratitude list. Sometimes it's really long. Sometimes it's kind of short, but it's always there. Lately, I've been doing like a fun little crystal tip or piece of trivia every single week, which is a fun way to learn about gemstones and minerals. And yeah, so it's just like a fun way to basically just stay in touch with me in between the release of podcast episodes. I also make announcements about products that I'm making and podcast episodes, so you'll never miss one if you're subscribed there. So I really do recommend heading over and subscribing yourself, and I will put the link to do that down below in the description of this episode. And I also want to say that I've been really enjoying the Q&A episodes that I've been doing. Those have been a lot of fun. They're some of my favorites because I love just the direct engagement that it allows me to have with you. So please send me your questions. Honestly, you can literally ask me anything. Truly, you can ask me anything. This is a very like open space. I think you know that. And if it's not something that I think that I can help you with, I will probably be able to direct you to someone that can. But literally ask me anything about crystals, tarot, astrology, energy, magic, ritual, living with intention. You know the kinds of things we talk about here by now, but literally nothing is really off limits. And as I said, if I don't think it's a fitting question, I can probably still help by redirecting you. And if not, then I just won't answer it here, and that's fine too. But I will never dock you for trying. So I appreciate anything that you might send me. So send me your questions. You can send those to thesmartwitchpodcast@gmail.com. As you know from previous Q&As, I don't use names. I don't even usually read the questions verbatim because I feel like the specific wording isn't really important. I like to try to get to the point and just make it more about a broader theme, so you'll never feel called out or like weirdly embarrassed about it. So yeah, just send me your questions. It really will help other people, because if you're wondering about it, then honestly, you know, more people probably are too. And I would love to engage with you in that kind of a one-on-one capacity. So send me an email with anything that you might want to ask related to the kinds of things that we discuss here. And I think that's it. So thanks again for listening. And I hope that you rush to your closet and your dresser to move some energy around, to cleanse your things, to cultivate a more magical relationship with your wardrobe. And I hope that you cultivate one going forward too, that you're more discerning about your shopping, and that every morning or evening or afternoon when you get dressed, it becomes a fun, beautiful spell in and of itself. That's the goal of this episode. So thanks again. Have a great rest of your day or night, and take care. I'll talk to you very soon.